you know, St. Francis de Sales in the part 4 of the Introduction to the Devout Life, talking about our spiritual struggle. And then he, you know, of the 8 chapters, of the 15 chapters in that part 4, he dedicated to temptation, how to fight temptation. So last time we were talking about that it's not God who tempts us, it's the world, the flesh, or the devil that tempts us. And then we have to fight temptation. When it's a big temptation, we in the will we say no to the temptation, make acts of non-consent. But in the mind we have to try to do something else, you know, think about something else, not to focus too much on the temptation. Otherwise we would lose courage. And then for the small temptation, I remember that they are like flies, they are annoying, so just push them away, don't think about them too much, and then also spray, you know, with the acts of love, you know, that they will be, because when you make the acts of love that include any virtues, you need to overcome that those temptations. And it's always good to tell the spiritual director about the temptation they experience, so that because quite often when the temptation is being disclosed, then it's not its strength already. So it's so that's about temptation. Okay, this time we are on anxiety and sadness and consolation and desolation. Anyhow, so St. Francis de Sales, after talking about temptation, in the last 5 chapters of the part 4, it's basically about those subjects, you know, about that we have to go beyond our emotions, also the up and down in our emotion and spiritual life. So it's not uncommon that we may have anxiety on the journey of the spiritual life. But he also talking about so anxiety is not just a temptation, but it can be a source of temptation, you know, because the devil like to fish in troubled water, huh? So we have to be also know how to deal with anxiety. So first of all, anxiety caused by sadness, and sadness caused by evil. So you can see the chain of events, you know, one after another. Evil caused sadness, sadness caused anxiety. How does that happen? Okay, St. Francis explained that. You know, sadness can be caused by the external evils like poverty, like sickness, but also it can be by internal evils. But for example, ignorance, you know, I want to know more, but I just don't know. Dryness, you know, when we suppress, that's a bit like desolation, you know, dryness in prayer. And temptation, you know. So if a person seeks to deliver from sadness out of love of God, usually the person will do it patiently, gently, humbly, calmly. And you don't say, I want to do it, I want it to happen right now, you know. You know that God, time is not your time. You do things patiently. Because you are not doing that out of self-love. You do that out of love for God. So you do whatever you can, but you know everything is up to God. You want to deliver me now? Yes, I like it. And you want to deliver me later? I will be patient. So you are a bit indifferent when you will be delivered from the sadness. So much more calm if you do that out of love for God. But if you are doing that out of self-love, I want it to be delivered now. And then if it's not happening right now, then you are eager and restless, and then it seems like everything seems to depend on you rather than on God. And so that's become anxiety. So because we have that the desire to deliver from a sadness, you know, and then, but sometimes it's out of our natural capacity to do that right now. And so the more we do that out of self-love, the more we feel anxiety. So originally it can be a justifiable sadness, but it becomes unreasonable anxiety. So St. Francis pointed out that anxiety is the soul's greatest enemy. For if the heart is anxious within itself, it loses the power to preserve those virtues which are already acquired, and also the means of resisting temptations of Satan, who does not fail to fish in such troubled water. So because when you are anxious, then you lost strength of your soul. So it's hard to preserve virtues. You got irritated easily. You got impatient. You know, you lost your sense of peace. But also become weakened. So it's also much more easy to give into temptation when you are anxious. So St. Francis wrote that anxiety arises from an unregulated desire to be delivered from any pressing evil, or to obtain some hope for good, you know. So anxiety happens if you want to deliver some evil, or you want something, but you don't get it yet. But the irony is, nothing tends to be so greatly to make your evil worse, or to hinder you to achieve the good you want to get. Nothing more than that than over eagerness and anxiety. So you want to get something, you want to deliver from evil, and then you are anxious to get it, but the more you are anxious, the more you are hindered. That's often the case. So that's the irony about that. So whenever you urgently decide to be delivered from any evil or to attain some good thing, strive above all else to keep a calm, restful spirit. So do your best to stay calm first, you know. Steady your judgment and will, and then go quietly and gently after your object, taking all fitting means to attain thereto. So, you know, if you feel anxious, you know, don't do things yet, but keep your time to calm down first. You know, calm and peaceful, really important. In the psalm, it's mentioned, you know, my soul is continually in my hands. So St. Francis recommends that we frequently examine ourselves whether our soul is in our hands. That is, either it's under control or not. So sometimes it can be snatched away by passion, by anxiety. You know, some emotions are ill-regulated. You know, it can be emotion, it can be, you know, even love, hate, envy, lust, fear, joy. It can be ill-regulated and it can become, you know, something that snatched up away from our hands, that our soul is obsessed with emotion. And then if we are not quite under control, we should gently lead our soul, our heart, back to the presence of God. And then one of the methods, you know, actually I also preach on that this weekend about our blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity. You know, even though she enjoyed different things in the world, but she always steady, her heart always set on God, you know. And that actually, St. Ignatius of Loyola, you know, he always say that we are so important, we have to have our first foundation and principle. That means basically, you have to set your heart always on God. If you put your heart always on God first, then you won't be so easy carried away by different kinds of emotions and even entertainment and recreation, whatever that might attract us. You know, but if we but if we do not put God first, it's so easy for us to get too attached to people, too attached to our recreation, that we become not recreation anymore, but as St. Francis de Sales pointed out earlier in the book, it's become occupation. It becomes something not refresh us but tire us. So it's important for us to always, when we find our heart getting too attached to this thing or that thing, this people, that people, we always, you know, give ourselves room to focus back our affections, our heart, you know, on God, and then we put God first, then it's much more easy for us that everything is under control. Yeah. Because if we put our heart in God, on God, also is that if there are, you know, it's a bit like, you know, if you have a dog, you know, anybody have dog? Sometimes you have a cat, or like, okay, whatever, be a dog, you know. A dog, you know, sometimes, you know, I think that comparison, a spiritual writer pointed out, sometimes if a dog, is holding on something. You know, you throw a ball, the dog got the ball, the dog doesn't want to let go of the ball, and then you got something really yummy, you know, let's say a steak, you know, good doggy, and then the dog will get the steak inside out and then let go of the ball, and the ball is let go. So basically, a spiritual writer pointed out that, you know, if we focus our affection, our love on God, and sometimes without that much pain, God help us to let go of the thing that we should be letting go. You know, if we don't put our heart in God, sometimes we think that, you know, relationship or some kind of recreation or some kinds of hobby, we cannot live without them. You know, we think they are so important for us that we're going to die without something or someone or whatever. But if we put our love to God first, and sometimes, you know, those things that may not be that good for our spiritual life or even harmful, that God will help us to let go of them without too much pain. Because our love is in God, and then it's almost like He gives us the stick, you know, good doggy, and then we can let go of the ball. So that's one of the things to keep our spiritual life in the right focus. Because sometimes people who are really hardcore in the spiritual life, you know, they might think, okay, I have to give that up. So they give up, they find that themselves too attached to one thing or even one friendship, they give that up. And then find later on, they attach to another thing already. You know, it's almost like, I give up donut, you know, you give that up, and then you attach to ice cream later on. So, you know, because you're talking about you want to, you see things only in a negative light, you know, I have to give that up. But if you put your love into God, then it's positive, you know, you put your love in God, and then He helps you to let go of the things that you need to let go. But your heart is always focused on Him, so you won't let go of something and then attach to another thing immediately. But you're always more focused. So that's one thing. And then St. Francis also wrote, do not allow any wishes to disturb your mind under the pretext of their being trifle or unimportant. If they gain the day, greater and weightier matters will find your heart more accessible to disturbance. So basically, if you find yourself have some smaller anxiety, turn to God. Commend yourself to God, resolve steadfastly, not to take any steps whatever to obtain the result you desire until your disturbed state of mind is altogether quiet. So basically, if you find yourself being anxious, even though it's a bit little small anxiety, still don't do anything. If possible, don't do anything until you are calmed down. Unless, you know, if something really necessary you cannot delay, then you have to restrain your rush, the rush of inclination, you know, modify yourself as much as possible and do things, follow the reason more than the impulse, you know. If you really have to do things, you go ahead to do your best to follow your reason more than your impulse. But if it is possible to delay, if you have anxiety, don't do it. Wait until you are calm. And then, of course, another one is sadness. St. Francis pointed out that the devil, quite often when he tempts people to sins of commission, the devil would tempt the people by give them delight, you know, wanting to experience delight in sinning. But when the devil wants to tempt people into sins of omission, that means not to do good things, then the devil will tempt the people into sadness. So you experience sadness when you do good things, so you don't want to do it anymore. So in sins of commission, he wants you to experience delight. But sins of omission, he wants you to experience sadness. But St. James wrote in the Bible, you know, St. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you sad? Let him pray. And Jesus also, you know, he was troubled, you know, in the heart, you know, experiencing that fear because of the suffering. So in Gethsemane, he prayed more. You know, he prayed because of the sadness. So St. Francis commented, you know, prayer is the sovereign remedy. It lifts the mind to God, who is our only joy and consolation. But when you pray, let your words and affections, whether interior or exterior, all tend to love and trust in God. So it's important for us, you know, to pray when we are experiencing sadness. Sometimes, you know, when we feel sad, we don't feel like praying. We might be feeling like to turn on the computer, or feeling like drink wine, or eat a lot of chips, you know, or chocolate, you know. But you know, when we are sad, you know, if you really can have the discipline to actually go into prayer, pray the rosary, you know, that's something that will actually give you much more peace, and also will give you the grace, able to face the situation, and also will help you to, you know, actually also allow you to use that prayer opportunity to offer your suffering to God, united with the suffering of Jesus. So it's help you to offer that up. It also gives you strength, also gives you peace, and also, you know, it also gives you the grace that can help you to toward the right solution. Also gives you the light to know what is the right thing to do. You know, some other thing, you know, they give you momentary pleasure, but afterward, it's still you are left with the problem, an even bigger problem, you know. So it's important for us to know that when in sadness, you know, sometimes the right solution seems maybe at the beginning seems to be the difficult one to pick up to pray. But when you start praying, you will never regret that, because it's the right solution. So it's really important for us, you know, when we are having sadness, that we have to be really turn to God in prayer. And then also when we are having sadness, we shouldn't omit the good thing that we are supposed to be doing, but we can to continue to do our work, even though it seems doing that you don't have the feeling when you do it, but still do it anyway. Because if the devil, you know, try to have us experiencing sadness so that we would not do any good, but when he sees that we would not stop doing the good work, but we will actually have the efforts of continue to do our work, then, you know, he will not like to tempt us anymore, you know. Because the thing is, he wants us to experience sadness so that we will be slack up in our work, but we now put in more effort, you know, doing that even better for God. And so it's something that we shouldn't fall in the trap of the devil, because quite often sadness is to prevent us of doing good. So in sadness, pray, but also keep on doing good, are the two things that we should be doing. And then, of course, in our spiritual life, sometimes we can have up and down. We can have consolation and desolation. Of course, sometimes the consolation and desolation might have to do with our natural up and down. You know, sometimes if you are emotionally down, you might also in the same time also feeling spiritual in prayer. You find this dryness in prayer. Sometimes it can be physical. You know, sometimes it's just because you don't have enough sleep, you know, or you are not feeling well, or you are tired, you know. But beyond that, sometimes a person can experience a bit longer period of consolation in prayer, or desolation, or dryness in prayer. And so sometimes it can be is something that can be allowed by God for our spiritual progress, or as a wake-up call for us. So for consolation, St. Francis pointed out, first we have to remember, consolation doesn't mean a devout life. So sometimes people think, if I feel comforted in prayer, then I'm really devout, I'm leading a good holy life. But that doesn't mean, it's not the same. Consolation is almost like, you know, you can think about when children, you want children to do good things. You give them some candy, you know, so that they, or toys, you know. Or I mentioned about the doggy, you know, give him a stick so he will let go of the ball. You know, sometimes God gives us consolation so that we can give up the pleasure in the world and focus more on spiritual things, sometimes it can be an encouragement from God to help us to continue in our spiritual life. So it's not, you know, so if a child gets candy, doesn't mean the child is a good child already, but that means the child needs encouragement, right? So if the dog have a stick, doesn't mean the dog is a good doggy, but the dog needs encouragement. So God give us a consolation for our encouragement. It's not because that we are already holy. The sign of holiness is the practice of virtues, not consolation. Consolation is something that helps us to achieve holiness. And then also, but the tender, warm emotions are sometimes good and useful, for they kindle the spiritual appetite, cheer the mind, and infuse a holy gladness into the devout life. So help us to move on in the spiritual life. So sometimes it's useful, but doesn't mean, but don't equal consolation with the devout life. They are different things. And then also St. Francis pointed out that, you know, if the spiritual consolation lead us to be more humble, to be mortifying, you know, more to modify our inclination to evil, to sin, to lust, more diligent in our duties, more docile, more submissive, make us more obedient, more simple in our way of life, then those sweetness is from God. But when we experience a certain kind of sweetness that make us more self-focused, more bitter, more impatient, more obstinate, proud, presumptuous, harsh toward other people, and thinking that we are already holy, look down on other people, arrogant, it's not from God. It can be even from the devil. So because a good fruit would not bear bad, a good tree would not bear bad fruits. So it's so important for us to remember that, you know, sometimes the consolation can be a trick from the devil too. So the consolation lead us to be more virtuous, focus on God more than ourselves, is from God for sure. If it's something that makes us more self-focused, you know, we have to be more careful. It can be from the devil, it can be also from ourselves only. If we are favored with a good kind of a spiritual sweetness, we have to humble ourselves before God. And beware of thinking about how good I am, you know. Beware of thinking about that. And St. Francis, you know, have a comparison. If you have sugar in your mouth, you know, you don't say, how sweet is my mouth? You say, how sweet is the sugar? So if you have a consolation given to you, don't say how good I am, but you think about how good God is to give you the spiritual sweetness so that you can have the heart, you know, have the strength to do good and avoid evil. So that's about spiritual consolation. You know, good attitude is always to be humble. And also, the right kind of spiritual consolation should lead us to be more focused on God. And of course, don't think when you have consolation, that means you're already holy. It's totally two different things. Spiritual desolation or dryness in prayer. Sometimes people can feel dryness in prayer. And so, when that happens, we have to examine ourselves. Am I the cause of spiritual dryness? So there are four reasons that we can be at fault of the spiritual dryness. You know, one I've already mentioned, which not included, is that sometimes it can be physical cause when we are not properly resting and stuff like that, it can be. But, you know, spiritually, God can allow spiritual dryness for at least four reasons. First is that, you know, when somebody has spiritual consolation and that person become prideful and become thinking that, oh, I'm so good, you know, I'm so wonderful and a bit presumptuous, then God may take away the spiritual consolation because that becomes something that can potentially harmful for the person. And then also if we are lazy, we know we forget, we neglect to gather up and use the treasure of God's love in due time. So sometimes God give us the grace, we don't correspond, we don't cooperate, we are lazy. So sometimes God take away the spiritual consolation as a wake-up call for us. Sometimes if we immerse our heart into worldly gratification, we just take pleasure in worldly things a lot, you know, then the worldly pleasure will choke the spiritual consolation. And then sometimes we are lacking sincerity in confession or in spiritual direction. That can also cause us the spiritual dryness. So those are the four reasons given by St. Francis de Sales. Not uncommon, I believe not uncommon is sometimes people may experience the spiritual dryness, but because they are still a bit immature in their spiritual life, they don't have a clue why they have a spiritual dryness. And then later on, when they grow in spiritual life, mature enough, they look back, they will find out, oh, now I know I was guilty of one of the four or all four of them. It can happen that way too. I don't think it's uncommon that happened. That people experience spiritual dryness at one point in spiritual life, but at that point it's still a bit immature in spiritual life, so they try to examine themselves. They couldn't find out what the heck going on, what happened to me. But then when they grow later on in spiritual life, they look back, oh, years before I have that spiritual dryness, now I know what happened. I was guilty of this and this and this and that. Oh, actually everything, you know, so no wonder it's spiritual dryness. But if after, you know, careful examination of conscience, that we discover, if we can discover, you know, that I'm actually guilty, thank God for that, because, you know, if you know the reason, basically, it's almost like half cure of your sickness. But even if after diligent searching, you cannot find the cause of spiritual dryness, then St. Francis advised the following. First, they were to humble before God, acknowledge that we are nothingness and misery, you know. So we cannot do it on our own, you know. God must be the one in charge. And of course, call on Him. The second thing is call on Him. And then also, it's good to disclose that into the confessor, spiritual director. And sometimes the confessor, spiritual director can see things more clearly than us and give us good advice. And again, just like the topic on anxiety, avoid over-eager for the deliverance from dryness. But place yourself in the complete disposal of the providence of God. So in God time, it will be over. So let God look after that. And then if you are having spiritual dryness, don't omit any good works that you are doing. If possible, even do more. So if you feel dry, don't give up your praying the rosary. Don't give up your prayer at all, but keep on doing what you are supposed to be doing. I think that St. Ignatius Loyola, you know, he suggests that, you know, when you are not peaceful, if you are having spiritual dryness and desolation, don't make any decision. Don't make any change in your life. You know, keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing, but don't make any change. Don't make any decision in life. Keep on, just keep going. So, St. Francis said, in this respect, you should work all the more to prove our trust. So that means if you have dryness, you know, we have to work all the more to prove our trust. For one act performed in dryness is worth many performed with pleasure. Though less agreeable, the love which prompts it is far more profound. So in the moment of dryness, you know, we will not realize it, but actually our prayer can be much more pleasing to God at that time. The good work that we are doing can be much more, gain much more merit for us, you know, than when in time of consolation. because you know that in time of dryness, you know, we are doing things not so much for out of self love anymore, but we're doing that out of love for God, you know. So you don't do the spiritual exercise because you can experience sweetness and consolation. You do it because you do it for love of God, and you pray for the salvation of souls. You do that with the more pure motive and the effort that demand, you know. So quite often, I think there are a good number of prophetic revelation. My vague memory tell me that, you know, some of the saints, you know, they got revelation from God that, you know, when people are in spiritual dryness, the good work they do, the prayer they do at that time, you know, worth more than when done in consolation, in sweetness, because in time of desolation, you know, what they are doing is demand much more effort and purity of intention when they were doing it. And of course, we know that some of the saints, you know, God allowed them to experience, you know, longer spiritual dryness. Like Mother Teresa, she was in spiritual dryness and darkness for almost like 50 years. So it was a bit extraordinary, but God allowed that, you know, so that when she was doing so many good works for the poor, you know, she would be able to stay humble, able to do the thing with the intention for love of God. And so sometimes, you know, God allows spiritual dryness happen to some, even some really great saints, like St. Rose of Lima, to experience spiritual dryness. And also lots of crosses, you know, the cross of sickness, the cross of temptation, of being misunderstood by family, by people. But one time, I think I shared that story that where she saw that one time there was a scale, huh? The scale, one side is the suffering, the cross, another side is the grace. And so you saw that Jesus distributed the cross, the suffering, to people. And so people have different degree of suffering. And St. Rose herself have a lot, you know. And so that Jesus distributed suffering. You know, different people have different amount of suffering. And then after that, after the scale is finished, on the other scale is the grace. And then Jesus distributed grace. And St. Rose saw that Jesus distributed the grace in proportion to the suffering. Those who got more suffering got more grace. And so St. Rose was, she wrote that, you know, if we see what I saw, you know, people would be, want to get rid of all their possession and try to buy suffering so that they can obtain the grace, obtain grace and able to, because the way, to heaven is the cross, you know. And the more the suffering, the more the grace is given. So that is a vision of St. Rose of Lima that she had. So, and of course, one of the suffering people can have, you know, because suffering is not just physical, you know. Sometimes people have physical illness, you know, maybe or getting old or getting tired or getting sick. But also it can be of spiritual nature, you know. So the one we mentioned tonight, you know, like sadness, anxiety, desolation, they are more of spiritual type of suffering that people can have. And so it's important for us not to forget, if we can unite physical suffering with that of Jesus, we also should unite the spiritual suffering with that of Jesus. And sometimes those can be longer in nature, you know, it's possible. You know, some people they tend to be anxious, you know, and it can happen that way, you know, because sometimes physically, you know, if I lost my hand, you know, I'm handicapped and I have to put up with that for the rest of my life, right? Even though no matter how hard I try, I cannot be completely cured. I have to just cope with that to the best of my capacity. And sometimes it also can happen in the spiritual life, you know, or in the psychological life. There might be, you know, a situation that I cannot completely cure. You know, if I'm the kind of person that I'm always anxious, you know, I might not be able to be completely calm, you know. I can be only be less anxious, you know. Then I have to cope with that, you know, to the best of my capacity, but knowing that that's my cross offered to God. Because, you know, just my physical handicap, I cannot completely well, but I can cope with that to the best of my capacity, and that's a cross I have to carry for the rest of my life. So sometimes spiritually it can happen too. You know, sometimes for some it can be up and down, you know, periodic, but sometimes it can be, you know, it can be a longer time, you know, and Mother Teresa, God allow her to be have spiritual dryness for 50 years, you know, it's something that you just have to cope with to the best of your capacity, but, you know, you cannot completely well in that situation, but you offer that up to God. Like Mother Teresa, surely she did that, you know, because she became a blessed, you know. So it's something that also is sometimes physically we can have suffering, but also don't forget spiritually. It can also be it's up and down. And sometimes the spiritual one can be help us to gain merit in a way that more than the physical, in a sense that sometimes physical suffering that you have, that is obvious to the people. People can sympathize with you, you know, if you are handicapped, people give you the handicap parking, you know, and help you out or whatever. Sometimes spiritual suffering, if people doesn't know about that, you know, it's only you know about that, or your confessor or doctor or whatever. But you know, sometimes it's more hidden. So it's something that the suffering more so also is to bear that more quietly and patiently. Of the spiritual suffering. Anyhow, I will stop talking now. Any